Shepard and Shepard and Sleep.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 209, fellas. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and at FF underscore spaceman on the Twitterverse. Jumping right into the top 12. We'll jump into it. Do you guys want to talk about Rashad Bateman, or do you want to wait? We'll tease him. We'll wait.
Next week.
We'll wait. You think we're getting out of this show without talking about Rashad Bateman? You're crazy, Dave. I don't even know what to say to you. Like, get out of my cupboard, picking Chuba Hubbard, and still, like, we give you last pick, and I don't know, you still find a way to taunt us. You still find a way to taunt us, Dave. So, we will get there. Jumping into the top 12, barely making it. With our 1.50 Fanero, is this 1.50?
Yeah, 1.50, tight end premium.
Kyle Pitts, tight end 25, 6.5 points, 2 receptions, 3 targets, 35 yards. Mr. Kyle Pitts.
This is one of the guys that I have highlighted that I wanted to speak about.
Uh-oh.
So
let him have it.
So, Swags. Anybody who listens to Rookie Fever has listened to you express the term ease of buy. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily an easy thing, but there could be a crack. And it certainly isn't going to be somebody who drafted him, but maybe somebody who traded for him, something like that. A little panic attack going on with Kyle Pitts. And there's no reason to panic here at all. I know Spaceman will back me up, but he continues to see over 80% of routes per pass, which is just enormous for a tight end. Just enormous. He's moving all over the formation. I think it's 24% in line, 46% from the slot, which is kind of where he's really eating, is in the slot. He suffers a little bit on the outside, but right now I think all the Pitts owners are just looking at what our expectations were, which are like Travis Kelce and above numbers, which are ridiculous. So now maybe they're thinking, maybe just for a second, are thinking, maybe he's just going to be like a top 10 tight end. That's not what I bought. Maybe I can get out with somebody who's still really high on him. So maybe it's just a little easier to buy because he's not putting up those stats that everybody thought he would put up in like week one. I think he still looks red hot. And somebody who, you know, right, Swags? I mean, he's 12 on the top 12. That's not saying shit. That's usually reserved for some guy that we don't talk much about, not somebody like Kyle Pitts. So I mean,
you're right. It's maybe not saying shit to your point, but it's also saying a lot, in my opinion, for a rookie at this point. A lot of times, like, we've been excited about rookies being a tight end 15 to a tight end 17 at this point in their rookie season. And he has exceeded any like actual rookie expectations that weren't set for somebody like Kyle Pitts. I mean, at this point, by all means, he's still ahead of where TJ Hockenson was in his rookie season. You know, outside of that huge game that Hockenson had week one that year, he wasn't at this level yet. So, yeah, I'm not concerned about Kyle Pitts. I agree. You can kind of tell people are. I had a trade hit my inbox this morning that actually involved Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
I still feel like I couldn't afford this or I didn't want to do it. I'll let you guys know what it was, but it let me know that the Kyle Pitts team is kind of ready to move on, or at least feeling a little bit differently, because it's obviously not a sell high, so they didn't have Kyle Pitts with the idea of selling high later. They're worried. But the trade was their Kyle Pitts for my Terry McLaurin and Dallas Goedert.
Mm.
And I rejected it, and I countered offering Terry McLaurin for their Kyle Pitts. And we'll see where it goes from there. I sent two counters, actually. The other counter was exactly what he wanted, which was McLaurin and Goddard. But I also asked for Kyle Pitts and their 2022 random first. Mm. So I sent them two counters because I'm all about trying to acquire Pitts, especially in a tight end premium. I'm not concerned a bit. Like, by all means, a Justin Jefferson season is not out of the realm at this point.
Gut check here, gentlemen. Pat Freiermuth has 22.2 fantasy points on the season. Does he have more or less points than Kyle Pitts?
He has less points than Kyle Pitts.
Do you agree, Finero?
Week one through week three?
Yeah.
Does he have less points? Probably, yeah. It's probably close, though.
2.7 PPR points separate the two of them.
Yeah.
So that just kind of shows you how we're going to talk about Freiermuth in a second, just how, you know, maybe, you know, everyone wants to sit here and hate on Pitts all they want. Well, maybe we should just get more excited about the other rookie tight end too, instead of just hating on Pitts. So that's how I'm kind of approaching it. Like, hey, we might have two great tight ends from this class. I'm freaking excited. Pitt, you said we get excited about the 10 and 15 swags. Well, that's what Pitts is right now. He's a 10 and 15, and he's kind of, I don't know, does he have a touchdown yet on the season?
No.
He doesn't
even
have a touchdown yet on
that's
the season.
The difference.
Still.
That's the difference between those two.
Still doesn't have a touchdown yet. So
yeah,
I understand the concern about what's going on in Atlanta as an offense, as a coaching staff, but still, come on, guys. This is Kyle Pitts we're talking about here.
So I'm not worried about Kyle Pitts. I think it's a good time to, like you said, Finero, some ease of buys. Like, don't try to go in cheap, but don't go in hot either. Like, feel it out a little bit and test the waters. That's what I would say. So moving on to number 11. It keeps showing up on our list. Kenneth Gainwell, running back 48, 6.65 points, 9 attempts, 24 yards, 3 receptions, 4 targets for another 32 yards. He did out-touch Miles Sanders, which is so weird. But number 10, Michael Carter, running back 47. I'm surprisingly interested in Carter. 7.15 points, 9 attempts, 24 yards, 2 receptions, 3 targets, 5 yards. Number 9, Terrace Marshall, wide receiver 57, 8.8 points, 4 receptions, 5 targets, 48 yards. A little bit of a slower start for Marshall than we thought we'd see, probably. Number 8, also outscoring Kyle Pitts. Touched the ball 2 times, tight end 15, 11.45 points, 1 attempt for 7 yards with a touchdown. That was a rushing attempt, then 1 reception for another 30 yards. They did trade away Dan Arnold. I'm mildly interested in Tommy Tremble, but I also want people to realize where these points came from, and it was just literally he touched the ball 2 times. He had 2 opportunities. He did well with both of them. He didn't even miss a pass, so it's not like they looked to him a ton. Ian Thomas is still on the team. So waste a little bit of time there with Tommy Tremble, but I am interested, but at no point do I trust putting him in my lineup. At this point, I should not say, you know. So, number 7, Dave mentioned a little bit, Pat Freiermuth, tight end 13, 12.7 points, 3 receptions, 5 targets, 22 yards, 1 touchdown.
That's number 4 tight ends on this list, Swags?
3.
You're correct. 3 tight ends.
3 tight ends. That is maybe a record. Maybe a record, kind of like our rookie fever predictions. Like, you did something really special this
last year. I sure did.
We'll get to that, though. Number 6, Chuba Hubbard, running back 32, 13.65 points, 11 attempts, 52 yards, 3 receptions, targeted 5 times, another 27 yards. McCaffrey's out 2 to 3 weeks. Neither of you want to talk about that. Chuba Hubbard. Okay, so I'm a little bit concerned about McCaffrey at this point, and if he's just going to keep being banged up. Like, we started the same pattern we came out of last year where he was injured, played a game, got injured again, left. I'm interested in Chuba Hubbard. Chances are super flex or one quarterback. You paid a third for him. A second, I believe, is more than fair. I also understand if you don't want to sell for that. So
any concerns that that this backfield is totally Hubbard's and Royce Freeman doesn't eat into that at all?
I mean, I'm not too worried about Royce Freeman. We saw what Mike Davis did in that offense last year compared to what Mike Davis is doing this year. I think that they want to try to have one running back in if they can, and I think that they're going to try to have Hubbard be that guy. That's what I think. But as long as McCaffrey's out and he hasn't hit the IR yet, but we'll see.
It doesn't sound like he's going to hit it. And the week after an unexpected injury, obviously, that McCaffrey had, that's the week that I think I'm going to be more interested in Chuba Hubbard. If he maintains that same exact amount of snap share compared to Royce, I'm going to be all in.
And so are you selling too, today?
You maybe should. I know that we're getting nervous about McCaffrey, but I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous about him missing the time that he missed last year. Let's put it that way. There is a concern about, you know, especially anything to do with the groin or hamstring and reoccurring and such. But I'm not going to predict injuries in this discussion and say, okay, we're just going to deal with the same thing we had last year. I think that's unlikely. I think it's more likely that they hold him out until they know he's good and then they bring him back.
I will say, going back to Swags about some of your concern for Christian McCaffrey, I also have a little bit of concern too, because it's another soft tissue injury. He had the thigh injury last week or last year that ended his season, and now it's a hamstring. I know it wasn't, it was basically non-contact. I mean, he was like kind of in some traffic, but it looked like it was essentially non-contact at the time. And just a little going on Chuba Hubbard, he didn't look exciting to me last. I know I look at these stats and I was like, that's what his stat line was? I didn't see almost a 5 yard per carry average from him when I was watching. It didn't look like that.
No, I agree.
And because you know why? Because he was hit at the line 45% of his rushes, which is a very high rate. And he had to actually churn a lot. 56% of his yards came after contact. And it looked like it was tough sledding. And that whole offense changed once Christian McCaffrey went down. I hope we don't lose something because the whole game kind of changed when Christian McCaffrey went down. I hope that doesn't really slow down the whole offense. That's all I'm saying, because I was really enjoying the DJ Moore and Sam Darnold resurgence here. So I just really hope that Chuba Hubbard can continue to at least be representative in the passing game and get some stuff done on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on both sides of this. I don't even know if it's team dependent. For me, it's almost, it is team dependent. It's not contention cycle dependent. It's kind of like depth dependent. If I feel like I can get Hubbard into my lineup the next couple weeks, I probably am. If I feel like he'd end up just being on my bench for a couple weeks, I'm probably trying to move on from him. That's probably how I'm looking at the situation.
I do have a question. Do you guys think that Chuba Hubbard, if he plays well, he might end up, because McCaffrey keeps getting injured, do you think they might try to lessen some of his workload a little bit? Do you think he has an opportunity to, say if he plays really well, does he have a chance to carve out a role?
I'd say maybe a small one. I would say listen to what you just said before you asked that question, when you were saying how much the offense had to change when McCaffrey left the game.
No, 100%. I'm just asking the question because I think that's the realistic question is for Chuba Hubbard, if we want to know what we want to pay for it, for him to go get him, well, what happens when Christian McCaffrey comes back? Can he carve out a role?
Maybe a small one. Keep McCaffrey a little fresh. I don't think he's going to have RB32 role. You know what I mean? And with McCaffrey there.
I felt like there was an off-season narrative of that, right? After McCaffrey has been carrying the ball for so many years, so many times, and got injured last year and missed so much time, that I think the narrative on the off-season was that maybe they would lighten his workload. And that didn't happen. So I don't think him pulling a hammy is going to be like the thing that goes, oh, wow, yeah, we should have done that. I think they go right back to what they were doing week one.
Yep.
I agree with number you guys. I just wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Trey Sermon, running back 29, 13.9 points, 10 attempts, 31 yards, one touchdown, two receptions, three targets, 3 yards. I think we've predicted him into the top 12 every week this season. He finally hit for us, or me, whatever.
Oh, Finero got that one, right? Oh, no, 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 never mind. Sorry.
That was
no.
me.
I know.
No, there. No. No. Number four, Javonte Williams, running back 25, 16.2 points, 12 attempts, 29 yards, one touchdown, three receptions, four targets for another 33 yards. Kind of decent PPR play there. Number three.
This was someone I highlighted. I highlighted Javonte Williams this week.
Nice.
That's what that pause was for.
There we go.
It was a tiny pause.
As everyone doesn't know, we don't know what each other, who everyone wants to talk to here. So we're adding a little excitement here for ourselves too. So the touchdown and four targets were pretty good in week three. I'll take that. But after 3 weeks, they're starting to become a little bit of a trend here that I'm not necessarily excited about. It's a lack of efficiency from Javonte Williams. And it's a little disappointing because he's the younger back. He's 21 years old. You're thinking that he's going to have a little bit more fresh, a little bit more giddy up in his step than Melvin Gordon here. But Melvin Gordon is starting to pull away both from an opportunity perspective and an efficiencies perspective. Finero's favorite stat in the world, yards per carry. Gordon is at 4.3 yards per carry. Williams is at 3.5. So that's not great. Similar evaded tackles numbers and target share numbers. So Javonte Williams isn't pulling away from either one of those types of in those categories. And then Gordon is gaining 2.9 yards before contact compared to Javonte's 1.7 yards per contact. So is that telling me that Gordon, the older back who has a lot of lower body injuries in his history, is hitting the hole harder and has more spring to step and getting more big plays than Javonte Williams? That is troubling to me. So that's just something. I'm not out on Javonte Williams. I just want to say, like, hey, I thought he'd be a little bit more just eye popping to me. I thought I'd be seeing a little bit more from him. I still think he's going to, you know, hopefully as the season wears on and Melvin Gordon wears down, you might see more Javonte Williams, but it's just, I wish he was a bit more efficient.
Last week we had a mini debate about trading a very popular back on this show, CEH, straight up for Javonte Williams. And I had said a couple times that I thought it wasn't the right time. And then as soon as CEH had his 100-yard game touchdown, I reached out to Swags and I said, Swags, you know, this is the time. I backed that up. And in a league, I offered my CEH, my only share for Javonte Williams, after CEH's 100-yard game on the ground, had some catches, I believe, as well, and a touchdown, and was declined.
Oh, wow.
Could not get Javonte Adams for CEH.
Or Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams, yeah. Definitely didn't get Davante Adams.
I'm kind of glad it was declined in a way, just like not for your team, but I mean, I guess last week when I was saying to do it was already too late, especially if that was like the sell high. People are already kind of out on CEH. So I wonder if you added to that, Finero, if you'd be willing to, or if now you're going to ride that wave and hope that you continue to get some more out of your Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But you never know.
Going to probably ride the wave.
Add a second to it. No, Dave just talked you out of it.
A little bit, yeah. When Dave gets nervous, I get nervous.
No, it's not. It's just a little bit, hey, put a pin in this and just like keep an eye on it. I'm a little less excited, but I don't think he's a bust or he's not going to be what we hoped he was. It's just a like, hey, is this just some rookie growing pains or what's going on here? Why is Melvin Gordon playing better than you?
Yeah, still super early. Number three, Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver 23, 16.8 points, 12 receptions, 13 targets, 58 yards with Jacoby Brissett.
This was also someone I highlighted. Are we doing two highlights or what, boys?
You may have two, Dave.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I have some more. No. So he had 13 targets, is pretty impressive as a rookie. And I think you guys know pretty well here, I was pretty down on Jaylen Waddle as a prospect. He wasn't really my type of player, lacked some college production, really flashed on the film. And from an athleticism standpoint, so there was a lot to like, but I just wasn't what I look for. I'm trying to be wrong on Jaylen Waddle. He's looking like a solid pro wide receiver. He's already in over 80% of the snap or the routes being run in Miami. And there's some names there too. Now, Will Fuller's back. Devontae Parker's there. Mike Gesicki's there as well. There's some decent pro caliber names that he's competing with, and he's doing it. And he got it done. Like the veteran quarterback, Brissett, was looking for him to get the job done. Now, Now I got some cold sweat saying all these positive things about Jalen Waddle here, and because I am going to be wrong here, but I will just couch everything and just say that 50 receiving yards on 13 targets.
I was gonna say those targets would be better if they weren't 4 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Exactly, and the 3.1 A dot or 40 air yards total on the day. It's kind of gross. It's gross. Yeah. It's a lot. Like I thought he was supposed to be this. I was hoping to see some of that playmaking ability that everyone talked about. Now, that being said, I will never, ever disparage targets. Targets, volume is king guy, 13 targets in your third freaking game as a pro is awesome.
He leads all rookie wide receivers in targets with 27. Behind him is Devonta Smith with 21, Elijah Moore with 18, Chase with 16, and Rondell Moore with 15.
So there we go here. I just wanted to say that just like, hey, I want to see some of that dynamism that I was told about, but I am trending to be wrong on Jalen Waddle.
More targets than Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen. Or I'm sorry, yeah, as many.
I think he's
as
one
many.
Of the highest graded rookie wide receivers at this point, isn't he?
Like from PFF?
Yeah, I saw it somewhere. But with his just efficiency and everything. And I mean, I get what you're saying on the 58 yards, but I mean, with that being Jacoby Brissett, like, I don't know.
No, I'm saying like, hey, I'm never going to share. I'm probably sounding a little harsh than I want to be. I'm just saying, hey.
I mean, you're the earned targets guy.
I said all this. You'll never hear me disparage 13 targets. I'm just saying, I'm saying I am looking like I'm going to be wrong here. I'm just like, hey, where is this playmaking ability? Come on here. Let's go, Jalen.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if A.J. Brown was putting up these kind of numbers. That'd be pretty sweet.
Low blow.
That's a low blow indeed.
Number two, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 6. Dave, I thought Dave was crazy at times moving Ja'Marr Chase into his top six so early, but Ja'Marr Chase is doing it. 23.5 points, 4 receptions, 5 targets, 65 yards, 2 touchdowns. Probably not going to see T. Higgins this weekend. We will see Ja'Marr Chase. No T. Higgins, Dave says. Number one, Najee Harris, running back 1, 33.7 points, 14 attempts, 40 yards, 14 receptions on 19 targets for 102 yards.
Did you write that down wrong? There's no way he had 19 targets. I'm kidding. Everyone's talking about Najee Harris's 19 targets. I think Mike Tomlin listens to Rookie Fever. Was I not the one that have said since the offseason that they need to utilize him in the passing game so that they can actually get him past that horrendous offensive line? This is too much. This is too much. This is outrageous. I can't imagine that without a Juju injury and a Deontay Johnson off the field, this ever happens again. But love to see it. Love to see that efficiency as well. Najee Harris, Mike Tomlin, big fans of the show.
It was actually you're close. It was actually somebody from the Pittsburgh PD, and they put it in to Tomlin, and they did listen. It got to him, but it was through Pittsburgh PD.
Okay, that works.
I coined a new term today, and it's called the noodle arm corollary. We saw it last year from Philip Rivers and Drew Brees, and now we're seeing it from Ben Roethlisberger. When these older vets have shot arms, we should be all about these freaking rookie running backs or any running back because it's crazy. 19 targets? Oh, my gosh. I think it's going to take Juju 4 games to get that at this rate.
What an embarrassment from Pittsburgh, though, allowing that to be their quarterback just because it's Ben Roethlisberger. And I mean, held on way too long to that idea.
Did you guys see the gif of him falling against air?
It's ridiculous. Adding a new segment in, I'll throw it to the feverish Fornero. He can tell you a little bit about rookie bets.
Yeah, so before I do, Rookie Fever is going to try to rotate a new segment in. It could be any variety of new segments. This week it's called Rookie Bets. This is gathered from underdogfantasy.com. We're going to do some over-unders on three players, two rookies and one rookie rewind this week, all Thursday night games. And the three of us are just going to place our over-under bets on three players. Pretty simple this week, but every week we're going to try to change this up just a little bit, put some special sauce into our Rookie Fever episodes so we go a little beyond the top 12 in our rookie predictions and throw in some spice in the middle. All right, so guys, you ready for rookie bets?
I am ready.
Thank God somebody is.
I got my wallet out. I'm ready to start laying some cash down on this.
We knew Feverish needed a new game because he's doing pretty lousy at the other ones. Speaking of underdog.
That sounds like exactly why this is in the show. You are right, sir. So our first bet, and you guys can tell me how many shekels you want to put into it, how confident you are. Okay, so we'll use three units, 100, 200, and 300. That'll be your level of confidence, okay? It just measures your level of confidence. So Trevor Lawrence, the over-under on underdogfantasy.com is 254.5 passing yards. Trevor Lawrence is playing Cincinnati, a very gettable D. I'll throw it to the spaceman.
Yeah, I will. I was looking here at Cincinnati's passes allowed here. This is going to be on Thursday night. So usually these Thursday night games can get a little sloppy on defense. The defense mm-hmm. doesn't have the full week to recover. Cincinnati's, I think, in all their games have given up over 250 passing. Oh, no, actually, there was, I think, one week, I think maybe week two that against Chicago, they did not give it up. But now the games are all blending together. I'm going to just say at Cincinnati, I'm going to bet the under here. Betting the under against Trevor Lawrence.
100, 200, or 300. What's your confidence? What's your confidence?
100. Okay,
so you're not,
I might,
super
like
confident.
A penny, maybe a penny. No,
wow. Okay. If you could have done a penny, I got you. So you're feeling the under, but you're not really feeling the under. I got you.
I'm all not right. a gambler.
Swags. Well, this is yeah, these are fake monies.
I kind of see what Dave's saying too on like his confidence level, just because the 254 sort of seems like that right area. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm gonna go with the under as well, but I'm going to put it at 200 just to switch it up and play with this game a little bit.
Okay. Under for 200. I am going to go also with the under, and the reason I'm going with the under is he's only thrown over this amount once. It was versus the Texans. The Broncos and the Cardinals are a much tougher D than the Bengals, but he also threw for 118 and 219. Not impressive. He is struggling a little bit in his early career. I'm going to make it spicier, and I'm going to say 300 shekels.
Holy cow.
That he will go under.
And since he's been better than we thought they would be on defense, they haven't been lights out or anything, but they've been better than we thought they would be.
I thought they would be like just absolutely trampled on, and that's not happening. So I would say at worst they're middle of the road. 100%. Especially against the pass, I think they're more susceptible in the run. So expect to see maybe a little more Ricky Rewind, James Robinson in this game. And I think Lawrence is again going to struggle a little bit because the legs aren't involved and these are sheer passing numbers. I feel pretty confident, which is why I went 300. All right. Next rookie bets. We have, sorry guys, I was on a different page. Rookie Ja'Marr Chase, receiving yards 68.5, playing Jacksonville, of course. Ja'Marr Chase versus Jacksonville. We'll start with Swags this time. Will he go over 68.5 yards, Swags?
Yeah, I'm going over, and I'm going big, and I'm going 300. Throwing all my money in.
All right, 300 for the over. Just for shits and giggles, Swags, how many yards? We know he's going over. You're very confident.
83
yards. I'm going to write that down for fun. All right, Spaceman, over or under? I have a funny feeling you're going over.
I'm going the over, baby, and I'm hitting the over hard. I'm taking the $299.99 I did not bet in the other one, and I'm putting that on top of the 300 here. So that's what I'm thinking here, making my own rules on rookie bets. Not really here, but I'll go with the full 300. Now, I will say, because I'm a terrible gambler, I will say here that Cincinnati is not having the play volume here. They're running the ball a little bit too much with Jacksonville. Ja'Marr Chase has only gone over this number once this season. That was in his first game. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of, and so, hey, Jacksonville sucks, you could see this being a Joe Mixon game and just a sloppy, terrible, you feel the vomit in the back of your mouth watching this game. Just a miserable game to watch on Thursday Night Football, and Ja'Marr Chase just not having the game here. But in all honesty, without T. Higgins, I'm slamming the over because this is the problem with gambling. I want to see a coming out party on national television. Ja'Marr Chase flipping off all the people who are worried about his drops and just take the league by storm versus Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football.
Nah, I like it. I like it. And I would love
doing it. Yeah, I think he's doing it. He's got the middle fingers up. He's doing it Barry Sanders style.
Just Eli Manning style, too. Show him
what he can do.
I would love to go contrary on this, but I cannot do so. Not as long as T. Higgins is out. If T. Higgins was in, I would probably go contrary here so that we're not all agreeing on the same thing. But I'm not going to go against Ja'Marr Chase. He's a tough guy to bet against and a really, really, really good matchup against the Jaguars. If he's going to suffer a little bit of a setback or a quote unquote disappointment, it'll be maybe next week versus the Packers. I don't see that happening in week four. So I'm going to go a little below you guys because of the little bit of hesitation and because of what Spaceman just said about he's only done this once. I'll go 200 instead of 300. I won't go crazy. But I am going to go over. I'm going to say that he winds up with 88 yards. All right. So one more left. And this is our rookie rewind. Laviska Shenault. Back to you, Dave. Over or under on Laviska Shenault. The yards are just a mere 42.5 receiving yards. That seems awful tempting.
Hey, people are really disappointed in how Laviska's come out in the first three games of this season. He did have the injury. He's only had 50 receiving yards and 48 receiving yards in two of his three games. But both of those are over the 42.5 line. I think I'm going to go contrary here. I think people are really down on Laviska, but I'm going to say, hey, here we go. Laviska, short targets from Trevor Lawrence. And this is also maybe I'll call this a hedge against my Trevor Lawrence under bet. So that's what I'll say here. And I'll throw 100 on this.
100 on the over for Laviska. Dave goes 100. Doesn't like to spend the shekels, but spending them today. Over. Swags.
Yeah, man. This is a tough one because I am very unexcited about Laviska Shenault at this point and a little bit worried about that offense. But I think that this is very feasible, the 42 yards. I'm going to take the over on it, but I'm only throwing 100 on it. I'm advising to get out of Laviska Shenault if you still can, whether it's adding like a Trey Sermon type or something like that and going after, I don't know, Jerry Jeudy or just somebody different. But I'm kind of out on Laviska Shenault. I want to upgrade there. I think he's going to have a career, but I think between injuries and this offense, I think there's somebody that's more excited about him in most of my leagues.
I'm feeling sad too, Swags.
Yeah.
So we don't have nine straight bets going the same direction. I'm going to go with the under here. It matches with my prediction that Trevor Lawrence won't have a big game. I'm not feeling super confident about it, however, so I will stick with the 100 trend in this category. 45 is not a ton of yards, but like David said, it's not like he's lighting the world on fire here. So I'm going to go ahead. Is that true? Do I have a Laviska Shenault -3 yards in week 2? Yeah, I'm going to go with the under. Yeah. I'm going to go with the under here. All right, so we pretty much all, just to sum up, we all went on the under with Trevor Lawrence. And his was at 254.5 passing yards. We all again agreed on Ja'Marr Chase and went with the over again, the over being 68.5 yards. And last, Laviska Shenault, when nobody was really high on, but two, Dave and Swags, go over, and only merely probably because they're only looking for 42.5 yards. I believe Laviska will struggle to get there and went with the under.
Are we sheep guys? We're very consheepshus or whatever that phrase is.
We will see.
That's just what we thought about those.
Yep. It's keeping it honest, Dave. We're just keeping it honest.
I'm not afraid to tell the world that Underdog's got it wrong.
All right, so that's the end of the show. We're not going to tell you how the rookie predictions moving went this week.
To the week three predictions. 2 weeks in a row, Fenero has picked a guy that the team decided wasn't going to play. 2 weeks in a row. How could it get any worse than that? How could it get any worse? The guy that he picked that played actually got less points than the person that didn't play.
This is correct.
How in the heck does that happen?
Oh, you forgot that I picked first.
And you picked first, both rounds. Dave picks last.
Both rounds.
Both rounds. And still takes it home for the week. So Fenero just likes picking first, I guess. That's what it is. Like, feels bad for spanking Dave last week and giving him the guest spots.
Oh no, I scores. Like spanking Dave. Don't say anything otherwise.
Pants are on for the listeners. I the pants are on.
So Feverish, if anybody wasn't listening or forgot last week, picked Josh Palmer, who ended up being a scratch, didn't play. So he comes in at 30, rookie number 30, for negative 18 points. But then he also has Diami Brown, who played and got negative points. Yep. And for the first time ever, like, actually, we had somebody picked below those zero guys for a negative 19 points for a total of negative 37 to put Feverish at negative 74 on the season. I think you think it's golf. Like, we'll call it Rolf. Like, Rolf.
Isn't that what we're doing?
You're doing a hell of a job.
Digging the hole? This is a very deep hole.
I end up having my best week yet. And you guys can already tell it's not good enough. So I have Trey Sermon at rookie 5, gave me a plus 8. But then I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was 23, to give me negative 11. So I get negative 3 on the week to give me negative 24, which when I think about, I'm 50 points ahead of Feverish somehow. and the crazy part is this could all switch so quick, especially with this year's class. So then Dave, I don't know. Do we blame Dave for the Christian McCaffrey injury?
I personally have viewed it. It hurt to sacrifice Christian.
Some
for
weird chicken voodoo.
Yep.
Chicken voodoo.
Not cool.
No, it wasn't cool. I immediately jumped into our boxer chat, very upset.
I couldn't believe it. I've never been this lucky in my life. I should be putting, like, watch me hit all three of these bets on freaking I'm running hot right now, guys.
Does your wife find you more attractive?
No.
Did you tell her about your Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah, did
She's
you
She's going to have to listen. No. I could go so many ways with this.
Gets Dave a positive 8 points. Then he has Kadarius Toney. And I scoffed when you picked Kadarius Toney. Why the hell would anybody do that? And he really wasn't that good. I mean, he was rookie 18. He got you minus 6 points, but he still did better than Diami Brown, Josh Palmer, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra, when you're ready, I'll say your name the way it should be said. And tell you've nice. Got to earn that back, though.
I agree.
Dave comes in with a positive 2 points, puts him at plus 20 on the year. The only one in positive numbers. So the leader with positive 20, I'm negative 24, and then Feverish coming in with negative 74. I am not allowed to pick Amon-Ra St. Brown this week. Feverish can't pick Josh Palmer or Diami Brown. Spaceman cannot pick Kadarius Toney. None of us can pick Elijah Shucks. Mitchell or Rondale Moore or any of the players on this week's top 12. Feverish. Do you want us to pick for you, or like should we just like throw a quick Twitter poll up and have them do it?
No, we're gonna let me have another shot at this. I just hope that I don't pick first every week. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Devonta Smith versus the Chiefs this week. It's a have to. He's averaging 7 targets per game. There's some question about his physicality. This is something Swags has been worried about since day one. But in this game, to be able to pull Devonta Smith is definitely a luxury that only last place gets. When especially last, I mean, just look at our picks last week. I mean, you know, Christian McCaffrey wasn't hurt, so Chuba was a reach. Tony was almost non-existent. It took two injuries as starting wide receiver positions to get him the numbers he got. Somehow he gets those. Like, we were really grasping at straws, guys, to pick guys. So Devonta Smith is a luxury for sure. The fact that he has two bad games, which is why he's eligible, I think this is a bounce back game for him versus the Chiefs. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot.
He wouldn't have made it to Dave, I'll tell you that. No, I would have taken Devonta Smith had you not.
I was hoping both you guys did not know that he was available.
Come on now.
In another
season, how good I am at this game?
Where rookies were a little deeper, I might have missed it, actually. So, some tough choices. I don't know how I feel. I'm going to take Rashad Bateman.
Nice.
Supposedly going to be back this week. We'll see if he gets some action. I could be putting myself in a position to have the zero here. But if he plays, I think that I could get into the top 12 pretty easily with Rashad Bateman.
Wow. Rashad Bateman coming back. You promised we'd talk about him, Swags, and this is the chance to get all excited. Anything? Anything?
I mean, you guys know how I feel, and so I don't want to beat that horse to death, but I'm still like, I'm very curious. I want to be optimistic about this. Marquise Brown has exceeded any expectations I had for him in 2021, to be completely honest with you. I think that if you haven't toyed with the idea of moving on from Marquise Brown, though, before Rashad Bateman gets implicated into that offense, I think that you could be putting yourself at a little bit of risk of loss of production with Hollywood Brown. I think that Devonta Smith, when we're talking about like the floor of like 4 to 8 points with some of our rookies making this list, or Rashad Bateman, excuse me, I said Devonta Smith, I think that he could squeeze into this with a couple plays. I think he's a talented guy. You guys know I don't like that offense, and I'm concerned about his injury history, but I'll be cheering for him. I'd much rather be wrong about it. And pickings are slim here. I've got five guys jotted down, and Feverish took my first guy right away. I didn't feel like Bateman would make it back to me, to be completely honest with you. And I'm thinking maybe a couple of these other guys might. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe you guys wouldn't have touched Bateman.
Small sample size, but Lamar Jackson's pass attempts are up.
Yeah. Yep.
I am scraping the bottom of the barrel. I thought I was scraping the bottom of the barrel last week.
Would you have taken Bateman here or what?
Honestly, I'm pretty slow on the upkeep with this news here. I did not know he was. I heard there was rumors that he'd be back. I had not heard the update.
Yeah, there's some risk. Yeah, he might. We'll see.
I had not heard. I honestly would have. He would have slipped through my. I would not have picked him.
Finero, would you have taken him?
Probably, yes. I have one 4-star and two 3-stars. And
so it depends on who Dave takes here. Dave, how hard your choice would have been.
Yep, absolutely.
I feel woefully.
Dave's going to pick my guy.
I feel woefully inadequate about what on earth I have a chance to do here. I'm really struggling here. I guess I'm going to go. I'm not going to pick who Finero thinks. I'm going to go. I'm just going to keep pounding Thursday night football game. I'm going to go Chris Evans. I think it's going to be a blowout by the Bengals, and I'm going to go Chris Evans. I think he's going to get a vulture, a TD or something.
So Joe Mixon is now going to get hurt. Great. This is fantastic news.
That is not really going to happen.
You don't think? Did you see what he's been doing this season? It's sick. All right. Stop. Anyway, he left me my final 3-star athlete, which is Elijah Moore versus the Titans. I will take Elijah Moore. Oh, you don't what?
I heard Dave, he's out with a concussion this week.
Oh no, you guys gonna let me? You guys gonna let me have that back?
Somebody else. You can pick somebody else.
He's out with a concussion.
Presumably.
So is it about as much risk as Bateman? Because it is slim pickings down here.
It is Slim Pickens.
On the Google machine.
I assure you that if Elijah Moore gets by you, Finero, I'm not picking him because of the news that I'm a little worried. Maybe he passes, and then if that happens, I apologize. You can pick him if you want to. But
but you're making me aware of the risk that I was not aware of. So I think knowing the risk, and now there are listeners, anybody who didn't know, Elijah Moore seems to have a concussion. I'm going to avoid that because I don't need any more negative numbers. Or actually, I'm probably bound to get some negative numbers, but negative 18 and negative 15 need to stop. So how about
stay out of those double digits somehow this week?
Exactly. <buddy. laughs> how about we just stick with somebody that hopefully can earn his namesake back with Amon-Ra St. Brown? Is he also hurt?
I mean, his pride's probably hurting after only being involved in 36% of the routes last week.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is now a part of my weak squad.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I'm taking Ramondre Stevenson with James White hurt.
Yeah, I thought about it.
It's risky.
Yep.
Mitchell here, to be completely honest with you, with him probably being back into the mix this week a little bit more, and Trey Sermon only being meh, you know, with his touches. But honestly, a lot of running backs were meh with their touches, so I don't want to tear into Sermon too much, but I think Mitchell would have been a pretty healthy play. I don't feel like I'm giving that away because I know Dave is either picking him or not.
Elijah Mitchell is not valid.
Stevenson.
Elijah Mitchell is not valid, nor is Rondell Moore.
Oh, thank you.
So this leaves, I'm telling you, this is the spot on the barrel here. I'm hopefully just getting another Vulture TD, and at least I won't be miserable until Monday Night Football.
Poor Dave.
Larry Roundtree here. Hey, I'm going to fall back to earth this week. You're
beating me by like 40 something points, beating Finero by like 90 something points, and you've got the world's smallest violin over there.
I this might be the longest someone's been positive going into the show. I think this is being positive this long in is very. I'm very proud to make it this long here, and I'm ready to see it crash and burn with Larry Roundtree.
What's Dave got on the other end? What's the smallest thing in the world on the other end he has?
A violin.
Oh, violin.
Not what you were thinking, though.
He did say he had your pants on.
Top 12 week one. So we'll see if he enters the conversation for week four.
We will see.
Well, he will. Dave, I hope that you do really bad this week.
I also do.
Finero, I'd love to see you do bad.
Anything? Anything? No, oh, you want me to be bad as well? Okay, great.
I'd like to see you stay in single-digit negatives on both players. But, like, if we could have you at negative 100 by the end of week four, that would probably be a record. And I like records.
Real quick, what's the bonus for the number one rookie? Remind our listeners. Do you remember?
Well, we never really set one, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Because we've already been there this season, and we just brushed right through it. We never really fine-tuned all that, so
I don't think it'd be fair
to... We'd have to go back and...
I need 4 or 5 bonus options.
Yeah, you know, Dave and I will talk on the side, and maybe we'll think of some kind of feverish bonus or just for you.
Maybe like extra credit.
Only you can get it. Yeah, like,
I could wash your car.
Should we start letting him pick 3 or 4 in the top 2 count?
Yeah. Do the show naked.
A bonus will be maybe we'll have the listeners pick his just to try to get him out of the negative next week or something.
I'm that far down the list now.
We'll do like a Twitter poll just before the show starts or something. And
yeah, help Finero out.
But they'll still have to – well, you'll probably pick first, so that'll cater to you a little bit. So we could probably use the one, the actual one. And
I'm going to post like a GoFundMe page.
On the show sheet, we'll change your name for the – only for the predictions part, but to like Twitter poll. Last year, Dave was guest. You're just going to be Twitter poll.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, this was a really fun show. Tell them who you are.
I am at Swagzilla0G on the Twitterverse. He is at ArtBarkTV, also on the Twitterverse.
Yep.
And the King of the Hill at FF_Spaceman. Also, to your surprise, on the Twitterverse, we are at Rookie Fever. Follow us on Twitter. We are out. When you kiss me, fever.
side. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.